From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour will be made in February of 2019 when the Boy Scouts begin admitting girls to their older-aged programs. It's a decision that has been several years in the making, and it has not come without some controversy. The Boy Scouts have said that the decision to allow girls to join will not only be more inclusive, it will formally recognize that girls have been attending Boy Scouts for many years, all without the chance to earn merit and their Eagle Scout badges. Well, that's going to change. Girls will be able to join the Cub Scouts, too, and there will be single-gender Cub Scout dens. There will also be co-ed Cub Scouts. The older Scouts will be separated by gender. Now, the Girl Scouts have not been happy about this. When the decision was announced, the Girl Scouts accused the Boy Scouts of trying to make up for years of mistakes and declining membership. We invited the Girl Scouts to participate in this program, but they declined and sent a statement instead. We will read that coming up, to be fair. But the Boy Scouts say this misses the point, and their goal is not to hurt the Girl Scouts. The goal is to offer more opportunity. The organization's name will remain the same, only the program for older kids will change its name. The Boy Scouts have rolled out a new ad campaign with the slogan, Scout Me In, designed to appeal to both boys and girls. And CEO Michael Serbaugh told NPR that it is important that all youth can see themselves in scouting in every way possible. So let's talk about that. My guests this hour include Stephen Hoyt, Scout Executive and CEO of Seneca Waterways Council, the Boy Scouts of America. Stephen, welcome back to the program.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Also with us are the Tavolettes. Trish Axsmith Tavolette is the Boy Scouts of America leader and a parent of two Scouts. Trish, welcome to you.
Thank you, Evan.
Also with us is Andrew Tavolette, who is a Life Scout. Andrew, welcome to you.
Thank you, Mr. Dawson.
And Mr. Dawson, that's my dad, but it's nice to have you. And Veronica Tavolette is a Girl Scout and a soon-to-be Cub Scout. Veronica, welcome to you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, sir as well. Boy, I want all kids to join Scouts after hearing these kids.
No, they are great.
Yeah, Stephen's going, no surprise. Look, I, to be fair here, I want to address a lot of different things this hour, and I want to be fair to the Girl Scouts. They chose not to participate. There has been some tension among the organizations, and I'll read their statement and more of some of the criticism coming up here. But for you, Stephen, this decision is about what at its core?
I think it's really about engaging kids, all kids in the program. I think one of the things and I have two daughters that are in Girl Scouts, or one that's graduated, one working towards her Gold Award. I think one of the things that you look at, though, and I think the bigger conversation is, you know, Boy Scouts America nationwide, 12% of the kids maybe in this country are in Scouts. Girl Scouts, 6% by their promotion numbers. Split the difference, say 9. We're not the only two Scout groups in this country. There are others. If you throw them all in, maybe 15% of the kids in this country are in some kind of character development program. That means 85% of the kids in this country are in no program at all. And then you look at such a huge percentage of kids that aren't even in sports or any other activity. You know, and it's depending on where you go for numbers, somewhere between 30 and 50% of the kids in this country are in no social activities. You know, the bigger conversation isn't about engaging kids from stealing from Peter to pay Paul kind of scenario. It's about how do you serve a larger market of kids that are not getting into character education programs and character development programs that can help really make a life-changing impact on their lives. And that's really the market, I think, for us to look at, is how do we address that audience and serve that broader group of youth.
Do you think this will hurt the Girl Scouts?
I don't think so. I mean, I think in the long run, if you do it right, both organizations start to grow. I mean, our membership's change over the last two decades has been parallel. Percentage-wise, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. And despite both of us having controversial issues over time, we both have changed exactly the same percentage-wise, which is really weird because you would have thought one of us would be up one year and down the other. But no, it's been very consistent. And I think it's kind of the trend that, you know, most organizations, Little League, other people are also trending down. Kids are getting unengaged into organizations. And that's really the conversation, is how do we get more kids back involved?
Yeah, and that's part of what some of the criticism has been, as you say, sort of the robbing Peter to pay Paul scenario. It's the idea that everyone is dealing with declining membership. According to the Weekly Standard, at the peak, more than 4 million Boy Scouts were part of the organization, and now down to about 2.3 million. Is that roughly correct?
I would say that would be just about right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So we can acknowledge that membership's down, but as you say, membership is down in a lot of different organizations. Summer camps, of which my heart goes to YMCA camps on Lake Chautauqua, and my boy was at the YMCA camp on Cuca Lake, and they're not necessarily seeing declining weekly attendance, but they are really making sure they have to kind of get up to speed with technology and all the things, because they know that they could, in a moment, lose a lot of kids based on expectations and parents' expectations. So it's a challenge for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And we see that in our summer camp, see the same exact thing where you're saying, how do we serve out a larger percentage of our membership so that camp attendance and enrollments don't go down? And I'm sure the other organizations, like you referenced, the same scenario is they're getting a smaller pool to draw from. So how do they continue to deliver the same services and quality of services? Because you got to have critical mass really to deliver, you know, in that case, a summer camp program and to have higher staffing and everything else that goes with it.
Trish, what do you think of this decision?
I think it's great. I've been hoping for years this change would come about. Boy Scouts has made some incredible changes on the national level over the past few years to help be more inclusive and attract and retain its leaders and its youth across all of the programs it offers. And I find it an exciting opportunity.
Okay. And you are the parent of Scouts who are here in this room. We're going to talk to them in a second. But what are your thoughts about the possible impact on the Girl Scouts?
Well, we talked to our daughter when this opportunity arose. And yeah, I'll admit I was very excited when I came home and told her. And we asked her to lay out, these are all the things that you're doing right now. Does this fit into what you want to do? And what trade-offs, what will you drop or change to make the time in your schedule? So we've worked with our daughter, and I think many parents will work with their children to say, what's a better fit? Just to give the parallel, if a community was well known for baseball and lacrosse came in, and people say, wait, it overlaps, we'll lose baseball players. Really? Or will you gain lacrosse players? Will you offer a lot of opportunities, again, in parallel, in your community?
Yeah, this is an important point here, I think, for those of us who have not had family members or had the experience in our own lives with both Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts. Because on the surface, you might think, well, it's really the exact same mission, exact same approach, just different genders. And what Trish is saying is that's not exactly the case.
No, it's not exactly the case. Boy Scouts does give a very structured training program, pretty clear standards, even Cub Scout and Boy Scout level of what's required for advancement. There's flexibility, but flexibility in different areas. I can't fully speak from a fully informed Girl Scout perspective. I am a Girl Scout leader in that I am Cookie Mom once a year, and popular job, but I'm not the one who leads my daughter's troop, but I'm there in a supporting leadership role. So I can tell you differences in approach in training leadership and structure and flexibility for the program, which allows both organizations to do what it needs to do, the leader to do what it needs to do, what he or she needs to do to move their troop or their pack or their den forward.
Stephen, how do you view the missions of the Boy Scouts? And again, you're not here to speak for the Girl Scouts, but I understand that I think some people view the mission as exactly the same, and others, it's been written about, especially since this decision, that there are differences. Do you perceive it that way?
Well, there's having two daughters through Girl Scouts and two boys through Boy Scouts.
So you can at least speak as a parent there.
As a parent, I can say there's absolute differences. And it's funny, and it's kind of a little side note, but there's a book that someone gave me called The Scouting Party, and it talks about the formation of the Boy Scouts of America in the United States and all these guys that Ernest Thompson Seton and people were debating what was it going to be after it came from England with Baden-Powell, and they didn't want this militaristic organization that England had. So there was great debate. And so as you read through the book, one of the things you realize is that the Boy Scouts of America kind of got this team building patrol method concept leadership development program, where the Girl Scouts adopted the other program, which is what Ernest Thompson Seton wanted, which was about an individual journey and that individual experience. And they were both great character development programs. And that's what we have today, two great character development programs. They just take a different venue on how or a way of which they go and do that. And where scouting works much more on a team-based leadership team concept, and it's more about engaging others and teaching others to be leaders, the Girl Scouts also work great on helping on that individual journey and developing, you know, making a meaningful impact in your community. So I think both programs are great. They're great attributes. And depending on the family and what they're looking for, they may say, this one's the right match for me, or I'd rather do the other. But then the reality is we both don't exist in all communities. There are probably more Cub Scout packs than Girl Scout programs at the younger ages in Daisies and Brownies, but to that, it's not perfect. And so there'll be plenty of opportunities where there is not a Cub Scout program in town, or there may not be a Girl Scout program in town. And so for some families, they don't get a chance to choose because there just isn't an option. But where they do have an option, they can pick and find the program that is the right match for them.
Yeah, when it comes to options, let's say for every 100 girls who by the middle of 2019, when all of these opportunities are rolled out now and the Boy Scouts are admitting girls, for every 100 girls who choose the Boy Scouts, how many of those 100 do you think would not have been scouting at all? And how many do you think would have otherwise been Girl Scouts?
Yeah, I don't know. I would probably be difficult for me to put a number on it. I mean, our plan is not to market to the Girl Scout side of the house. I mean, obviously you do that in general community marketing.
Sure.
But the, I mean, our hope would be is that it wouldn't purge a lot of memberships, if any, out of the Girl Scouting side. You will see families who will do both. And that is great. But I wouldn't be able to put a number or guess. I mean, it'd be interesting to see where it's a year from now, what that works out to be. But again, my hope would be is that both organizations grow because we're starting a more important dialogue of let's get your kid enrolled in a program that works to develop character. And that's really, I think, important for so many kids versus staying home and playing Xbox all day.
Well, let me ask Andrew and Veronica about their experiences. Andrew, you have been in scouting since you were how old?
Since I was about in first grade, which was about when I was
maybe six?
6 years old.
I only know that because my six-year-old is going into first grade. And so you're how old now?
I am now 14.
Okay. And you've been in Scouts ever since. What do you love about Scouting?
Well, I just love how we go on all these different campouts and some of the memories on them. Some I will treasure forever. Others I will learn from.
Yeah. And so what are some of the skills that you have developed through Scouting?
Well, I've developed a lot of first aid skills and how to treat. I can now treat most wounds. I've also learned a lot of leadership skills and how to coach people. And I think the most important would be more communication skills.
Okay. And when you think about girls joining the Boy Scouts, what did you think when you heard about that?
I thought it would kind of be like girls are taking over Boy Scouts when I was little. But now I'm kind of fine with it since now there's many different adventures that girls can have. They can still be on Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts.
Okay, yeah, all right, very cool. And, well, Veronica is a fifth grader, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, how old are you?
I am 10.
10 years old. And so you'll start with the Cub Scouts in the fall, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Why do you want to do the Cub Scouts?
I want to do Cub Scouts because my brother's been... I was young, they'd always do Cub Scouts and always do fun adventures, and I always felt left out because I've always wanted to do those.
So you got the chance to see what he was up to, and
yes.
Now you can do that. And so you'll do Cub Scouts for just a little while, and then you will transition to the Scouts. Scouts USA is the official name, Steve?
Scouts BSA.
Scouts BSA.
Yeah, Scouts BSA.
Okay, so you'll become a Scout after that. Will you do Scouts only, or will you also do Girl Scouts?
I might still do Girl Scouts.
Okay. What do you think about doing both or one versus the other? Why would you do one or the other?
Well, I think they're the same to me. I don't know yet because I'm not a Cub Scout.
That's fair. That's a great point. I mean, you got to do it to experience it, to know what it's all about. What do you like about Girl Scouts?
I like how we do adventures, horseback riding. We go on trips and then come back. We go swimming, that type of stuff.
Do you think there is any part of what you do with scouting where you would be less comfortable or less able to sort of feel confident if it was both boys and girls together?
No, not really.
You feel good about that?
Yes.
Okay. That's one of the things that, Trish, that's come up. And again, I'll read that statement in a moment from the Girl Scouts, but that's one of the criticisms come up is that girls need individual space, not just individual space, but individual gender space to develop these lessons, to find the skills and the confidence to go forward and to develop these skills in life. And that if you mix, especially at the Cub Scout level, boys and girls, that there may be less opportunity to develop those skills. What do you think?
I don't fully agree, because when you take a look at Cub Scouts, the great part is the dens are organized by age, and there'll be female dens and male dens. And then when they have the family get-togethers, which are typically monthly, which would be a pack meeting, everyone mixes and blends. That also includes younger and older siblings. Even Pinewood Derbies, where they have sibling races and parent races. So I don't see it as an obstacle. I think the council, Steve could speak to this when it comes to the older scouts with camping, how that's going to be handled. And some of that's probably still taking shape. But I believe for everybody's different. We have different ways of approaching things. And saying that each of us is on an individual journey, Boy Scouts allows for that. Boys can take any merit badges in any order. They can complete ranks at the rate at which they're comfortable progressing. They're on their own journey. Cub Scouts, it's more structured. They're younger. By the time they get into the Scouts, the Boy Scouts, what's known as, what will be Scouts BSA, each youth determines their own journey and their own rate. So I applaud their efforts at keeping them separate and parallel for male and female units for Boy Scouts and Scouts BSA. And then as they go to camporees or summer camp or merit badge university program, that they are in combined classes potentially.
Okay. Andrew, are you going to be an Eagle Scout?
Yes.
I like you, how you didn't say, I hope so. You said yes. Veronica, would you like to become an Eagle Scout?
Yes, I really would.
See, look at that. And that opportunity now, it'll be open for all.
It will be. It will, absolutely. So we've already kind of figured out the timeline. So 1.7 months is the fastest someone could technically do it. But there are there are girls who are literally, as soon as we made the announcement, were in our office, they're buying their uniforms, they've been a tag-along. You know, they did Girl Scouts. They've been a tag along with Boy Scouts with their older brothers, and they are focused. And, you know, they're turning 16 in February or whatever.
So you're hearing from families already. They're lining up to do this.
And there's a number of groups that want to do that because they like that outdoor component, that experience that they've been experiencing. So I suspect that there'll be a race to be first. It also would not surprise me that the Boy Scouts of America don't actually recognize the first young lady, that they actually recognize everybody who sort of does it in that first year, but doesn't actually put the one person on the pedestal. But I was going to back up to your prior comment. I think the reference you made on the Girl Scouts, I'll just point out kind of one of the misconceptions that's come out real early is that this was a co-ed program. And that we are not rolling out a co-ed program, but it will be a parallel track experience. So when Cub Scouts, it's boy dens or girl dens or separate units. But on the Scout side, Scouts BSA side, it's all girl or all boy. There is no blended option. So and to the point, a little bit different than the Girl Scouts take. But really, you know, kids do develop differently. And there is a lot of developmental differences between boys and girls. Girls develop faster than boys. And that has been the number one reason why we have debated this thing for about 30 years. Because the reality is, scouting throughout the world is co-ed. There's only a handful of countries where it's not, and we were one of the ones where it was not. But the one thing that we did better in the United States was we really focused on boy development and leadership development in young men who, as a group, are a very at-risk part of society. So how do we let girls come into the program and not lose all the leadership development that was happening with the young men? Because the reality is, the moment I put a girl in with the boys at 12 years old and we're getting ready for a camp out, we need someone to do this and do that, it's the girl that's going to raise her hand. The boy's just going to sit back and say, go ahead, you got it. So we're not putting that boy in that fail or a succeed environment. And so he's not learning leadership. So that was why, as we move forward with this, it had to be a parallel track program. And coming up with the format that we have today. And there's a lot of misconception that people think, oh, it's going to be co-ed. I don't want that co-ed experience. And we don't want a co-ed experience for your daughter or son either.
Okay, so not co-ed. And I see the phone ringing. We're going to get to your calls in a moment. Let me go ahead and read the statement that we got from the Girl Scouts of Western New York. This comes from their CEO, Judith Cranston, as a statement to WXXI. Quote, Girl Scouts provides a high-quality, girl-led experience for tomorrow's leaders and change-makers. Research shows that girl-only places like Girl Scouts helps girls form trusting relationships with adults and other girls. They feel safe to share their opinions and ideas, try new things without fear of failure, and experience less social pressure that can come from a mixed-gender environment. Both organizations build character and teach life skills and teamwork, but do so in very different ways. Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts are not the same organization, and each have unique cultures and approaches to youth development and volunteer support. The Girl Scout way is based on research and over 100 years of experience about how to build confidence and leadership identity in girls that unite the whole family and build a network of support for girls. We think girls are best served in an all-girl, girl-led, safe space, which we have been doing for more than a century. We are incredibly proud of Girl Scouts' history of inclusion and girl safety and our legacy of women leaders, including 70% of today's women senators, 100% of women secretaries of state, 80% of female tech leaders and 90% of female astronauts who have flown in space. We are also proud of our commitment to reaching all girls, regardless of race, creed, religion, sexual orientation, disability, economic status, cultural background, or ability to pay. And we encourage all girls in grades K-12 to join now. Girl Scouts provides every girl for a lifetime of leadership. That comes from Judith Cranston, CEO of Girl Scouts of Western New York. You want to respond to some of what you heard there?
I would agree with her on just about, I think, everything in there. I don't have a point with any one of them. And quite a lot of the stuff that Judy said in the note kind of reinforces what we've talked about and all the research that we have also done over the years about how boys and girls develop differently, and you have to address that developmental differences. And mixing the two together is going to be at the detriment of one over the other. And so it's, again, everything she said in the letter is spot on.
All right, so and then a little bit of some of the feedback that has come in the last few months. Elaine Godfrey writing for The Atlantic under the headline, "How will the Boy Scouts decision affect the Girl Scouts? The organization's choice to admit girls is a major reversal that could ultimately hurt the Girl Scouts and undermine their mission." Quote from the piece, "The Boy Scouts of America announced it would reverse its century-old policy of no girls allowed, and the Girl Scouts aren't happy. Why not ask us how we could help them serve the 90% of the boys they're choosing not to serve instead of pursuing serving girls?" asked Lisa Margosian, the Girl Scouts' chief customer officer, in an interview. On that point, she's saying, look, you've acknowledged that most boys still aren't Boy Scouts.
Correct.
Why go after girls? Why not try to increase the number of boys you're serving?
Right, and that goes back to the issue of really what families are looking for. And as you look at all the siblings and tag-alongs, and what do we do and how do we address that audience of kids that want to be involved with the program? And so the issue of girls joining has been more from the ground up to the national office saying we really want to have this program than it's been the national office pushing it down. And it's really been, when I was a kid in the 80s, there was already discussion about girls having the opportunity to join. And at every time, it's been squashed from the national organization saying, no, this is not our focus. Our focus is on development of young men and how do we make leadership, and it's going to hurt what we do. And it's only been in the last 5-10 years that it's starting to get serious traction as the national organization said, okay, if we were to do it, how would it work? And then finally, you know, after a lot of research, saying it could work under this scenario. But I would say, quite honestly, there's probably more risk to the Boy Scout side of the house than there is to the Girl Scout side of the house about the long-term implications of the program.
Interesting. And Mark Hemingway, who's a conservative commentator writing for the Weekly Standard, he wrote that, quote, "The decision to include girls and women is, if you'll forget the pun, a Hail Mary, forgive the pun, a Hail Mary to reverse the trend in declining membership." Stevens already said that's not the case. They've addressed that part, but he goes on to say the following, quote, "This is a radical departure from the Boy Scouts' stated mission of exclusively cultivating skills and morals in young men. The recent membership decline has more than a little to do with the Boy Scouts' response to being targeted for their previous stance, excluding the openly gay Scoutmasters and employees. In 2013, the Scouts welcomed gay Scoutmasters, and that caused a different kind of backlash. Looking ahead, it's difficult to imagine the Boy Scouts reversing this membership decline. It's unclear what kind of families are going to be attracted to the Boy Scouts of America, whose chief appeal was ostensibly inculcating morals, but now shies away from reinforcing traditional notions of gender roles," end quote. There's a lot there, so let's just, yeah, just a couple of things. Let's do, do you agree with this premise that the work that the Boy Scouts have done to heal some of the wounds caused when there's the question on gay Scoutmasters, et cetera? There's been a lot of work in recent years. Hemingway saying that's hurt your membership.
Yeah, I don't know that it was interesting because that's always what been my impression. And then we overlaid with, you know, what's our membership trend been over the last two decades with the Girl Scout membership trend with Little League and everybody else.
And it's pretty much the same.
And we're all on the same slide.
Okay.
So if we were to believe that controversy was the reason for our membership decline, well, then it would stand out like a sore thumb and we'd be the only one. But that isn't the case. And it's not just in the United States either, by the way. It's interesting that you see that in Europe, you see that in Canada. It's not just the United States phenomenon that youth organizations are seeing lower enrollment. So, you know, what do we do as far as society as a whole is engaging more families involved?
Well, now let me ask both. We got two parents in the room because, again, Steven's not just CEO of Seneca Waterways, but is a parent. And so let's talk about Hemingway's point here. He says the Boy Scouts was traditionally about male-only leadership roles and skills and morals, young men only. And he says it's unclear what kind of families are going to be attracted to the Boy Scouts which now shies away from reinforcing traditional notions of gender roles. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I disagree with that one. So I guess both my daughters who are in the program would disagree too. But the, you know, exploring has been co-ed in that program since, what, the early 60s. Actually, Rochester, we piloted that program for the nation when that rolled out, us, Chicago, and two other cities. The and we have, what, 1,800 kids in that program today here locally, which is kind of cool. A venturing program is also co-ed, and that's been a co-ed experience since that rolled out. And that's, what, going on 20-something years now. So it's, you know, we've been working in a co-ed environment for all of 50 years in the teenage audience. So in the younger ages, absolutely, we've been all boy. But facilities and programs and all that have been co-ed right along.
Okay. What do you think, Trish?
Well, I think that you have to take a look at the fact society is more open with inclusivity. And I think Boy Scouts is keeping pace with that. I mean, if people go back to Boy Scouts roots 100 years ago, women weren't voting either. Women didn't have equal rights. And as this country has progressed, the organizations that support youth have also needed to re-examine it, their mission, their approach, and their membership. So I think this is in keeping with that.
I promise I'll get to your phone calls in a second, but I want to kind of put a fine point on this part of the discussion, because what Mark Hemingway is saying there, I wish I had him on the phone to ask him more about this, because as someone who hosts conversations for a living, the one thing that sort of annoys me when you've got sensitive issues is people sort of, when we kind of create two boxes, it's either all this or either all that. There's no nuance. So in the question on gender roles, there's this idea that, well, if you're a feminist, you think that there is no such thing as difference between boys and girls, men and women. And I rarely hear anybody who actually believes that. Whereas if you're a traditionalist, you think that only boys and men can do this and only girls and women can do that. And I rarely hear that either. And of course, the truth is in the middle here. So when Mark Hemingway is saying that, well, the Boy Scouts no longer believes in gender roles, I struggle to believe that that could possibly be true.
Right.
And I think there's some nuance there, because the old model of gender role might have said that Veronica can't do certain things, which is not fair. You know, that Veronica couldn't have been a CEO or would have had to have been a teacher, or all of these things that women in the 1950s, particularly women of color, had to deal with. So I think this idea that there's not nuance is wrong. And I think that this decision doesn't mean one or the other. It's a question on how it's put into practice. Is that fair?
Absolutely. And I think the Girl Scout letter states that as well as what we have said. There is the recognition, too, that boys and girls develop differently.
Yes.
And that you can't put them all in one box and say they're all the same. I mean, quite honestly, all kids develop differently. But there are some definite similarities between girl development and boy development. As example, girls mature faster than boys. There's no question about that. And you see that anytime you have a co-ed group working together on a project. And, you know, the girls step forward first. They take the leadership roles. They're the first ones to engage responsibility. It's not true for every girl. There's always exceptions. And
we're talking generally speaking.
But generally speaking. So there is the need. And as the Girl Scout letter said, and as we've said, you have to focus on those differences if you want to turn kids into the best productive citizens in our community and to do the best for them. And so hence, as we see these changes moving forward, I would say the letter that you reference is probably, you know, misunderstanding of what the program will be as a co-ed program, which it isn't. And so that's, you know, one of our challenges as we move forward is helping families realize that there isn't going to be that full co-ed experience here. It's still going to be a program that's very much identified towards the developmental needs of the individual child.
How do you feel about it, Trish?
Well, generally, when I look at it, I believe we're all looking at this, no matter what organization you're part of. We want young men and young women to thrive. And by the Boy Scouts changing its membership rules in 2019, especially for girls joining what is traditionally known as Boy Scouts, they're looking to also allow troops so there's a girl-friendly environment, which is girl-led, and allowing those leadership skills to come about. Even within the Boy Scout unit that my sons belong to, you'll see that different boys develop differently, have different interests. Some go to Eagle, some do not, but their pathway through Scouts is as unique as they are. And I think that holds true for the girls that will come through this program as well.
All right, I have the phone lines filled up, so let's take a couple of calls because, boy, we've got a lot of feedback on this. I'm going to start with Peter in Rochester. Go ahead, Peter.
Hi, I'm actually a scoutmaster of a scout troop on the east side of Rochester in southeastern Rondacoit, and sponsored by Catholic Parish. And our sponsor is planning on sponsoring a girls' BSA scout troop this year. The parish is on board. Our troop committee is on board. The scout staff from the scout office has been working on this project as well. So this this summer, while at summer camp, I asked our kids, what do they think? And more to the point, I asked them, how closely would you want the programming of a boys, our boys troop and a girls troop sponsored by the same sponsor? And
Oh, we lost you, Peter. Oh, call just dropped entirely. Okay, well, you gave us enough there to respond to. Stephen, you want to respond? Go ahead.
Yeah, the with that, I mean, one of the first things we did is reach out to a lot of our sponsoring organizations and say, you know, what would your interest be? And with that, I was, you know, we have some. They have a great Girl Scout program. You know, no desire to start a girl troop there, and that's fine. But others, that there is no program here. So in this case, I would assume Peter's call is one of those scenarios. But where there's, let's start a program because we don't have one here locally, that's great. There will be some opportunity, though, to Peter's second half about parallel units doing joint activities together. So they will be able to go to summer camp on the same weeks and do camporees and other events together, though they won't share individual campsite, well, individual patrol sites. They may share a campsite on, you know, other subsets of it. But the but to that end, there'll be some opportunities for groups to do, because, again, a family has a boy and a girl. They're going to want to be able to, you know, for convenience of time, be able to send both kids in the same direction, same weekend. So there will be some merging of activities, but we'll still have dedicated leadership teams. So the girl group will have its own team and the boy group will have its own team.
Okay. Keith, next up, calling from Farmington. Go ahead, Keith.
Evan, I've been associated more as an interloper with the Scouts over the last 3 years. And the troop that I've been associated with, I've seen the membership drop. But I've seen the same parents are always the ones that step up. I think before the Boy Scouts, and I firmly believe this is a business economic decision to go after the girls, because what could go wrong when you have 15-year-old girls hanging out with 15-year-old boys or 16-year-old boys or 17-year-old boys? I just believe they're going to create a big problem. Now, to say that I've been associated, I've helped kids work on their eagle. We've gone to the Steak and Lobster Fest at Oak Hill for the fundraiser. If you have two middle class parents who are both working, it can be very expensive and time consuming. And when most kids turn 8 or 16, they usually work just so they have spending money. They pay for car insurance, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're still in Scouts, you've got to decide, do I still continue to work on towards my eagle because I know I'm going to age out by the time I'm 18 or what? Now, I've known several kids who did all the Scout stuff, did all the camp, did Camp Hovey or the Babcock, whatever the one is on Seneca Lake, did all that. Their parents footed the bill for it. The kids turned 16 and could not do both, and they both aged out. So all the expense that the parents incurred to try to help the kid get to eagle status just got lost in the wind. I believe that the Scouts should look, for example, their merit badge. They should maybe eliminate some of them, make some of them a little bit more apropos to this day and age than, say, eliminate the Leathercraft badge.
Okay, so how does this relate to the discussion of boys and girls, Keith?
Well, what I think they're doing, they're just going after the girls because it's another body that they can get in, just like the thing that you read.
You think it's about declining enrollment?
Oh, of course. It's a business. Boy Scouts of America is a business, and they need customers, and the customers are boys. And you have less and less boys doing it, or else you're going to go. Let's go after the girls. I mean, you have two distinct different developments. And I mean, I see the boys that were in camp. I just can't see them being there with girls. It's just going to create a lot of problems.
All right. So I got to get some other calls and let Stephen respond to this. Again, Stephen Hoyt is a scout executive and CEO of Seneca Waterways Council of the Boy Scouts of America. So several points there. Number one, you've already addressed this, but you can address it again. He perceives this as a grab for membership.
Yeah. And as I said, it's the whole idea of girls getting to join the organization has really been a groundswell movement of the organization saying we really want to offer this to our siblings, our daughters in the program. I mean, the other flip side of the coin for us would have been at some point, if we didn't go to allow girls to join Cub Scouting and eventually the Boy Scouting program, would have been we would need to address what's the right protocol for siblings tagging along. Because at some point, for some units, it was getting way too much, where you'd have 10 boys in a program and 22 girls tagging along doing campouts, activities.
But they couldn't get merit badges. They weren't eligible for Eagle.
Not covered under insurance. What happens if girls get hurt? So there's the whole liability issue, too, of how
Then just don't allow that.
Exactly. So to some extent, does that not mean families can't participate?
Okay.
And so you sort of have the flip side of would it actually hurt membership even more if you went the other direction? Because it is becoming, because a lot of Cub Scout packs are a family-engaged program where all the family comes. And we've talked about it for years. You know, your boy is the number one beneficiary of the program, but it's open to the entire family. And we encourage you all to come and partake and have a great time. So to that extent, yeah, it could have gone either way. And that's, you could speculate, I suppose, on it. But the last thing I would point from a financials perspective, you know, kids pay a registration fee. It goes to the national organization. None of that money stays locally. So for us to exist as a council, whether we have 10,000 members or 20,000 members, it doesn't matter because none of that registration is here. Of course, it costs more for us on the other side for insurance and other liabilities, but that we'd make sure we deliver quality to those programs. So we sort of exist in the middle as an entity really to serve the group of units.
All right, but he's also saying you should modernize and that some of it feels outdated, you know, leather work, et cetera.
Yeah, and all those badges go through review. There's, 141 merit badges now. Some get phased out. You know, computers got phased out for about 10 more different STEM-related programs that came in. And over time, they go, and there's different groups of people that work in the different fields that actually look and advise on what should they be. And it may. I mean, there have been a number of merit badges that have gone out, and I suspect more will go out over time.
Okay. We are way late for a break. Let's get that only break of the hour. We'll come back to more of your phone calls. You're hearing Stephen Hoyt, CEO of Seneca Waterways Council. And the Tavolette family is here. Trish Axmeth Tavolette is a Boy Scouts of America leader and a parent of two Scouts. And that's Andrew, who is a Life Scout, and Veronica, a Girl Scout and a soon-to-be Cub Scout. And we're telling their stories, talking about how that relates to the Boy Scouts' decision to bring girls into the fold, which starts really in the fall with the Cubs and then next February for older programs. So more of your questions and feedback next on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, if you ask men and women the question, have we done enough to achieve gender parity in this country, you get pretty different answers based on whom you ask. We're going to be talking about the upcoming Women's Equality Conference and the goals of that event next hour. We're also talking about Sankofa, an African-American theater festival, and a new play called The Green Book Chronicles. That's next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Before we get back to your phone calls, it turns out that Andrew Tavolette, you have a leatherwork badge, a merit badge. You're showing. How many merit badges do you have on there, by the way?
About 30.
About 30. Okay. And so Keith, the caller. Oh, hold on. Veronica, your sister is trying to tell you. How many, Veronica?
You actually have 33.
That's awesome. Sister wants to correct him. So Keith was calling saying, you know, he's been working with the Boy Scouts. He thinks we could update some of the merit badges. You've got, is it leather work? Is that what it's called? So do you think it made sense for you? Tell me about that.
Well, I got leather work at my first year. The Adirondack camp at Massawippi. I got it because the leader said, well, it's your first year, you shouldn't be taking on too many hard merit badges. But also, I really enjoyed it. I made a pocket knife holder. And I feel like if you're a scout and you're first beginning, it's really helpful just to get a couple merit badges. My first merit badge was salesman, which was really fun. And then my second was first aid, and I wish I would have taken that a little later because it was really hard and I didn't retain as much as I was hoping.
Okay. Well, good feedback on that. Really good. And Keith, thank you for that. A lot of different stuff there. Before I get back to the other phone calls, Trisha was making a point during our brief break here. You know, Keith brought up the idea of what do you expect to happen when you mix boys and girls together? And I think our guests have been stressing that that's not really going to happen,
right,
even though Boy Scouts is admitting girls. It's going to be separate programs. What did you want to add to Keith's phone call there?
Well, I know here within the council, we're required as leaders to take the youth protection. They've upgraded the training program, either online or classroom training you can take. And what that's meant to do is help address some of the challenges of the fact the program has changed, and we need to be aware of females entering the program and certain rules for conduct and how to run an effective outing and how to deal with situations that may not have come up previously in a single gender unit.
We will tell you before we go back to your phone calls that if you want more information on joining Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts, the information is all out there. Girl Scouts would love to hear from you. The Boy Scouts would love to hear from you. The Girl Scouts declined to participate today, but they're easy to find online, and you can do that if you like. Can they find you online?
SenecaWaterways.org is our website, and that is probably the best place to go to get information about anything and everything dealing with Boy Scouting. But if you just want information about how do I find a program for my son or daughter that's near me, we run another website called BAScout.org, just as it sounds, BEA. Scout and .org, and you can go there and there's punch in your zip code and it'll tell you all the scout units that are in your neighborhood and which ones are all girl or all boy or blended programs, and you can find one that works for your family.
All right, back to your phone calls we go, and this is Kevin in Rochester next. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hi guys, thank you for letting me on the show.
Sure.
I'm gonna plead ignorance right away just because I've never been a scout or anything of that nature, but just listening to the conversation, it seems like almost a backwards mentality here on an overall scale, meaning, if I understand it correctly, if Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, these are separate entities and been this way forever. And I think that moving forward, because I can agree with both sides, they all, both have positive points and negative points that could affect girls being in with the Boy Scouts, what have you. But I think moving forward, and I don't understand why we just don't have scouts. Scouts of America, whatever you want to call it, and everything falls under that umbrella, and you can combine resources, ideas from both sides, mm-hmm. and create everything you have to do underneath that. It just seems like when you start the conversation off with there's one faction here and one faction there, you're already going to be at odds because one's going to be at the other. I don't understand why you don't do it together. You both have similar goals and ideas, and they should be combined. They shouldn't be separate. And some girls should be included, and some boys should be included in stuff. But I think moving forward, that's the progressive way to do it, not keeping two different factions and then trying to make them work outside each other.
Okay.
So, anyhow, that's my question.
Kevin, thanks for the phone call. Steven.
Well, interestingly, we're not the only two scout organizations in the country. So one of the things that people had to say, use a coin a term, but what is the sister organization for Boy Scouts of America? Technically, it's Campfire USA, which would be ours. And so that was kind of where I figured that there would be a merger if one was to come about. But I know there was discussions with both organizations as well as several of the other scouting organizations about things to do long term. None of that materialized. But there are probably, I think, about 8 or 9 pretty large scale scouting organizations in the country. Some are very denomination religious specific. But I say major, they serve more than quarter of a million kids in their program. So there's a number of groups. We're not the only two. Coincidentally, our two names happen to be the closest similar together.
Okay. Kevin, thank you for the phone call. And again, I go back to what Trish said earlier. As the mother of both Girl Scout and Boy Scout, and Stephen, who works for the Boy Scouts and has girls in Girl Scouts, they don't view the two scouting missions as exactly the same or with the same. So Trish compared it to merging baseball and lacrosse earlier. They're both sports, but they're different. And you wouldn't necessarily put everyone on the same field because there's different approaches, different rules, different ideas. But I take the point, Kevin, and thank you for the phone call. Let's get back to your calls, and this is Sue in Fairport next. Go ahead, Sue.
Thank you for taking my call. A long time ago, I was a Brownie leader. I've also been a Cub den mother. I have an Eagle Scout son. I was a scout. Girl Scouts, unfortunately, were sort of they didn't challenge. The one badge that I had in my lifetime that I was most proud of was a canoeing badge that I had to pass it by Boy Scout standards. And it really pushed me. And unfortunately, the programs for the girls really didn't.
I wish there was a way they could work together. Clearly, they are very different organizations. And I'm really conflicted about having girls and Boy Scouts, girls in the Boy Scouts. I'm afraid that it may water down both programs. But I certainly support the idea of giving it a try. Something's got to happen.
Sue, thank you for the phone call. So Sue's experience from years ago was that she didn't feel pushed as a Girl Scout, in at least in some of the areas there. Is that your experience as a Girl Scout parent?
Yeah, I would say that one of the differences that happens between the Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts is that, and it's, you know, the pro and con, and you can look at it both ways. The Boy Scout program, Cub Scouting program, tends to be much more syllabus-driven, curriculum-based. You know, every kid that gets to Wolf or to Bear Badge or Zweeblo, you kind of know they had to jump through all these very specific hoops. Though there's flexibility, you know, if you're going to have to do a wood project, you know, what the project is, things of that nature, it isn't really, there's not a lot of flexibility because you're following a very tight curriculum. Whereas on the Girl Scouting side, there's a lot more creativity opportunities. And so there's a lot more opportunities for you to go and engage and do a variety of things with the girls. The pro and con of that is there's a lot more flexibility in Girl Scouting, but that also means you're a lot more dependent on a very engaged volunteer. Whereas, you know, we've kind of looked and said we can't get a very engaged volunteer every time. So one thing Trish started talking about before is training. When we mandated about 4 years ago now, all volunteers go through training. Because one of the things we really were concerned about was the quality of the experience for the volunteer who's not delivering a quality product for what we want for our kids. So we started mandating that it's not an option. You have to go through the training program. You've got to follow the curriculum that we lay out so that you do offer a quality experience.
And okay, but condensing Sue's comment, as a Girl Scout parent, do you think Girl Scouts are less challenging of girls than Boy Scouts are of boys?
Yeah, and I guess my point would be it really is dependent on the volunteer who does the program.
Okay.
And so that's where and that's because there is more flexibility. It may or may not be.
Okay. What do you think, Trish?
I agree. It does depend on who's running the Girl Scout troop. As to what adventures they go on. I've heard of some great adventures. At this point, it is relative to the volunteer.
Okay. Rich in Rochester next. Got to keep it tight. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, my concern is, for the lack of a better word, is the level of misogyny. I know that everybody has good intent, but when you get a group of girls and boys together, the tendency is to challenge the boys more, look to them more, and give them almost a superior position. I don't know if the Boy Scouts, even with training, can alleviate that, because this is built in society in itself. So that's a huge concern of mine.
But Rich,
will the girls be marginalized?
Rich, one of the things that we're hearing is that they're not going to be putting boys and girls together in the same program, even though girls will have a chance to join the Boy Scouts or join Scouts BSA. so that the approach will be different. Does that change your mind?
No, because now my question is, will it be a separate but equal situation? These are things I worry about anytime that when you start mixing. It's just like sports in school. The boys' sports get more money. What is the Boy Scouts going to do to guarantee that doesn't happen?
Okay, thank you, Rich. Steven?
Yeah, so I think there's two parts to that question. The first part, you know, as far as kid development, you know, again, back to, you know, when you put that co-ed environment together, the girls kind of step forward, and, you know, Cub Scouting or Boy Scouting is really about letting kids fail within parameters. And so you want to create an environment. It's always kind of somewhat comical, you know, for kids on that first camp out when they want to go. And they got to prep a menu and they got to go shopping. And, you know, those kids, they're thinking, you know, big grandiose things. We're going to have spaghetti and we're going to do garlic bread. And they're making up this menu that's impossible to cook on a campfire or on a stove. And, you know, it takes 3 hours to clean up. And, you know, they're going to fail within parameters, but they're going to learn, all right, how do you get ready for a camp out? You know, it's not someone just handing it to them. So those skills or values are important to let kids fail, because that's how they learn to succeed. And so by mixing the two, yes, that's going to take away, hence the reason we're not going there. But with that, I think, you know, there's no guarantee what's going to happen, you know, as far as where programs go. I mean, the reality is you're going to have a lot of groups that come forward. We're going to have brand new teams, a lot of training. And so the best that we can do is make sure we get everybody through training so they're all on board at the same pace. We're going to have a lot of rookie, you know, volunteers the first year out running programs. But that'll correct, I think, fairly quickly over time.
Well, before we go, let me just ask Andrew and Veronica. Andrew, what do you think you've gained most from doing scouting?
I think I gained most leadership skills and learning how to do stuff. Also, if I fail, now I know what to do different, and I can assess the different opportunities I have.
Okay. Veronica, what have you liked about your time doing scouting, and when you look ahead, what would you like to learn from scouting?
When I look ahead, I want to learn the basics of cooking, how to set a camp up, how to start a campfire safely, and that stuff.
Okay. A lot of adventures ahead. Mom, Trish, I know you're proud of them, and they've been very impressive this hour. What do you think that they're getting from the various scouting programs they've been in?
I think they're getting a lot of life experience, exposure to people with different thought processes, different socioeconomic backgrounds. They're getting a broader exposure to life and hopefully preparedness on the pathway to adulthood. I mean, we're not raising children, we're raising adults in the childhood stage. And so I'm hoping that exposure through all scouting means they're getting those skills.
And Stephen, one more time, if folks want to contact you, questions, comments, information?
SenecaWaterways.org for the website. 244-4210 is our phone number. Or if they just want information to join the program, they can go to bascout.org.
You've always been very forthright and happy to be here, and we're always happy to have you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And our thanks as well to the Tavolettes, Trish Axmith Tavolette, Andrew Tavolette, Veronica. Good luck to all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, sir.
Future Eagles. You got it. Thanks to Stephen. Our thanks as well to the Girl Scouts of Western New York. They chose not to be here in studio today, but they did send a statement, and I know we'll continue that conversation with them in the future. More connections coming up.